When I first started listening to rap music, there was a couple of albums that made my rotation that really solidified my listening experience for all the years to come. And I think when you're talking about a hip-hop album that transitions you into the genre, there's a couple of different things that I have to, you know, come into play when you're listening to that album. One's the replay value, two is the types of productions going into it, and three, it can't really be a complicated album or else you won't necessarily be able to understand it at first. So today, guys, this is going to be a bit different. Lou and I put a list together of albums that we think would be a super easy transition into the rap genre, and we're doing content like this on the daily, guys, so subscribe if you have not already. NFR Podcast is doing a load of end of the year content as well, plus we have our award show on December 29th, so mark it in your calendars. Lou and I also put together a bunch of different categories for best song, best album, best bars, best new artist, and much more, so subscribe if you have not already, and smash the like button on this video, helps us out a ton. So Lou, let's get into this, man. What constitutes, let's say, an easy album to get into for a new rap fan, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the simplicity of it, and also I would say albums that maybe don't solely stick to hip-hop and traditional hip-hop that you might get with other albums. But with this kind of list, we kind of tried to put together accessible albums that, let's say, a 15-year-old or a 55-year-old who have never heard any hip-hop music can easily gravitate towards. And I also think that you have to choose albums that aren't too experimental, because I mean, You can't put MF Doom, you can't put Death Grips, because you're gonna be bashing your head against the wall if you start off your hip hop listening with those kinds of projects. So I would say that for this list, we did choose albums that kind of have maybe some more pop sensibilities, just so that they're easier to gravitate towards at first. And these aren't necessarily the first albums that we bumped, but they are the projects that we think would facilitate a super easy transition into the genre. So let's get it started. What's the first album that you brought?
Okay, so my first album I brought in was Mac Miller's Kids, and this is a big classic for me because when I was coming up in high school, I mean, the sentiment around this project was it was fun, it was easy to listen to. You know, I was kicking it with my friends at the park, and I was, you know, maybe going to house parties, and all you would hear is maybe the spins and Nikes on my feet. So I wanted to maybe choose an album that, you know, I want to recommend to you guys that is going to have a, you know, an easy replay value. Plus, like, Mac Miller's lyricism is super fun in it. You know, there's a super nice, all of his deliveries are super cool, super slick, but they're not necessarily, you know, stuff that you would find on more complex albums like Watching Movies, for example. Plus, it really sticks within the hip-hop realm. And not only that, but you're going to find them going on more, you know, pop, let's say, oriented productions rather than, let's say, you know, more of the psychedelic stuff.
He rapped that he would over touch the, Firefly beat, right?
He did. Yeah. Yes, he did.
That was cool.
It was super sick because, you know, Mac Miller wanted to create a project that was, you know, geared towards the youth, something that was going to be fun for kids to listen to. And he did that exactly. And now I'm 21 years old. I've been bumping this, you know, mixtape since I would say, you know, 10 years now, and still the replay value has not been lost for me. So take me on your top three songs off of Kids, like something that maybe the listener should be looking forward to.
I would say, yeah, definitely the spins, Nike's on my feet, and
Kool-Aid and frozen pizza is awesome.
That's a good one too. That's a good one too. By the way, guys, just to mention, I know a lot of you guys are big hip-hop fans that are watching this, at least some of you, but if you have friends maybe who have a hard time getting into the genre, this might be a cool video to show them. So my number one on my list is actually Man on the Moon, The End of Day by Kid Cudi. And this was one of the first albums that I did listen to getting into the genre. And
classic.
I think that on a basic level, like as music listeners, we do know that the chorus or the hook of a song ends up being the most addictive part of a song. And when you look at Man on the Moon, the hooks that Kid Cudi brought on this album are some of the best that we've ever gotten in hip hop. If you look at tracks like Soundtrack to My Life, Enter Galactic, Day and Night, very easy to gravitate towards because of how soothing that Kid Cudi voice is, especially when you look at his humming and his crooning as well. That's super hazy. And with this project, what Kid Cudi really accomplished was take you into his own world. And it kind of feels like the project is taking place in outer space because you have very atmospheric production. You have these very trippy synthesizers. And also, I would say some instrumentals that are rock inspired. So if you're maybe a rock fan, you might gravitate towards that. Apart from that, you also have songs like Make Her Say, which, you know, include a Lady Gaga sample from Poker Face. So it kind of does a great job of blending different genres instrumentally while Kid Cudi is taking you through this journey of finding his inner peace and battling his demons. So I think that The subject matter is super relatable for any music fan. And like I said, his hooks are so addictive and catchy that you'll find yourself going back and back to them over and over again.
That's a great choice because that was another big staple in my listening because not only did it get me into the genre further with, let's say, songs like Pursuit of Happiness or Day and Night, but it also made me want to explore more of experimental hip hop where it wasn't necessarily boom bap beats that I was listening to. Or I remember back then I was really into Dr. Dre production or let's say, you know, Get Rich or Die Trying. And this was something completely different. That had sort of, you know, steered me away from the traditional sounds of hip-hop.
It was easy to get into, right?
It was, not only was it easy to get into, but it was actually one of my favorite first listens ever. And one of my albums that have, you know, not only stuck with me over the years, but one of my favorite albums that have stuck with me over the years. So that's a great pick. Let me go on to my second album. I have The College Dropout by Kanye West. And this is a major album for me in my listening experience because as a hip-hop listener, I feel as if one of the greatest joys is going through that Kanye discography. Like, it's one of the most legendary runs of all time. You're going to find yourself going back to this whole run, you know, countless occasions. But why start with The College Dropout? Well, one, it's the first studio album that he's ever dropped. Two, you could start with something like Graduation or maybe, you know, let's say Late Registration that still, you know, plays within that realm. But I just feel as if The College Dropout is playful. You know, there's a certain emotion that goes into it where, you know, Kanye's kind of on the come up. He's hungry. It also, it relates to a younger sort of audience because, you know, you'll have, like, songs like Spaceships where Kanye's talking about, you know, his experiences in retail and about how he wants to fuck up his manager. Like, I mean, those are the types of things that I took out of. And I play this album a lot at work when I was a kid because I remember I used to hate my shifts, bro. I used to do, you know, stupid fucking shifts like 3 p.m. to midnight. And like, I was only like 14 and I didn't understand what it was, but
Spaceship got you through
all that. That's all I needed, right? And then you have songs like All Falls Down. You have Family Business, Last Call. Like, it's super easy production too because of that Chipmunk soul that, you know, not only the hip-hop community gravitated towards, but the whole world gravitated towards for Kanye West sound. So I think it's beautiful because the subject matter within it could speak to, you know, the youth and could kind of get people through harder times and a very simple in lyricism approach. Not only that, the track list is beautiful. I mean, I've had so much fun going through this, you know, start to finish and going through songs like We Don't Care. I think like that was one of my first bumped Kanye songs ever. And as I said, one of the biggest joys I've had in hip hop is going through that Kanye discography.
Yeah, it's such a smooth album. It's such a smooth album, and you know, going through it every time brings a smile to your face because of how uplifting the music tends to be throughout the whole track list. And it's also kind of Kanye's celebration of finally being acknowledged as a rapper, because for a long time he was kind of trying to break out from going from a producer to a rapper and an artist, and some people weren't giving him the chance. So it was cool to kind of see him also break the norms of, let's say, gangster rap that was super common during that time, and instead give us something that was more conscious and was also very personal for Kanye. So you're probably all familiar with Kanye West, and you have to start listening, you know, with his discography from the very start with The College Dropout. But my number two on this list is actually The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. And this is the only 90s album that we do have on the list. And this is a great starting point for, I would say, any music fan, just because of how genre-bending the album is. Because if you think about it, although it is a hip-hop album, there's also a lot of elements of neo-soul, of R&B. And that's because what Lauryn Hill accomplishes here is bringing in that duality in full force of singing and rapping. And that's kind of, I would say, a motif that we've seen a lot of rappers use later on in their careers, is to, you know, kind of show that versatility through the use of singing and rapping. And Lauryn Hill was kind of the pioneer to do that on such a big level. And apart from that, I mean, you get a lot of spirituality from Lauryn on this album. You get her talking about her journey from, you know, from being a child, from being in school, and then, you know, learning through her life experiences how it now feels to be a mother. And you get a lot of talk about, I would say, prophecies of female empowerment, which are super powerful. And that's really interesting because you don't get that too often with a lot of mainstream rap albums. And apart from that, I mean, The Miseducation of Miss Lauryn Hill is maybe the most sampled hip hop record ever. And it's been used by J. Cole, Kanye West, Drake, Cardi B, and so many other artists who have actually sampled songs in their own music. So when you actually, you know, I would say, go forward where you're listening in hip hop, you'll be hearing some of these samples and you'll be like, where does this come from? Where does it stem from? And this is the album that kind of, I would say, inspired a lot of artists to use these sounds, further instrumentals. And I mean, it's just, it's breathtaking to see what she did. And also a lot of things that she did here, for example, using drum loops and also using that spirituality really played a big part for, you know, for future albums to come. So for that reason, I think it's a great starting point, because even if you're not a hip hop fan, you get a lot of songs where she's singing and kind of harmonizing. So it's a very easy way to get started into the genre.
And I also think it's a really nice entrance maybe into the 90s, because a lot of hip hop fans have a hard time gravitating towards older material. But what's special about The Miseducation of Miss Lauryn Hill is that it has that duality of R&B and neo soul with rap. So I think that after you kind of get your taste with that album, you're going to be wanting to explore a lot of different projects around that era. And it also kind of shows you guys like where this all started from. I mean, we could have put something like a Big Daddy Kane album or something from NWA, but I mean, something that's like gonna be accessible for every single listener, I think that that's a great album to go with. My last album on my list is very interesting, because when I started listening to hip-hop, I wasn't the biggest Drake fan, but later as I got into it, I always had a sort of I would say ear for Take Care. And what Take Care did for me going down the line was it kind of developed my, you know, I would say my ear for mainstream pop rap. And that's what I'm going to be talking about, is Drake's Take Care. Dropped back in 2011. excuse me, I have something in my throat. You know, one of the most played albums in my rotation over the years. And I think that this album is so accessible because it kind of does what, you know, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, of Miss Lauryn Hill does, but it does it in a 2011 sort of standpoint where, you know, Drake is infusing, you know, hip hop and R&B together again, but doing it in a more refreshing way and giving it more of, like, let's say, a feel to it that allows you to, you know, relate to the content that he's talking about. Plus, like, Drake's career has always been centered around the come up and his sort of story as being the boy that came from, like, you know, Toronto, that they didn't have any access to big markets and that made it out of nowhere, and that when he finally got his shot, ended up becoming one of the biggest rappers to ever do it. So going with something like Take Care is like, not only are you going to be getting an inspiring story through it, but you're also going to be getting this duality of sounds that is a very easy transition in. Plus, what I love about this track list is the amount of memorable tracks within it. Like, I remember bumping Hell Yeah Fucking Right. I remember bumping The Motto, Headlines, The Ride, Lord Knows, you know, Take Care, Marvin's Room. There's Underground Kings. Like, there's so many great songs on this track list that, you know, it's so easy to pluck them out and then put them in a playlist. So I also think for the replay value for, you know, new listeners and the ability to take it out and put into your playlist, it's a great album for that. Plus, I mean, yes, you could start with So Far Gone and Thank Me Later for Drake's discography. There's no issue with that, and I urge you guys to do, you know, the full run. But I think for a lot of people, that first project was actually Take Care, because I think that that's like maybe the first certified classic that he has in his discography, at least in my opinion. So I mean, it's an album that I'm still bumping to this day, but I'm gonna ask you the same thing as I did for Kids. Give me your top three on that album.
Top three in the album, Lord Knows is up there for sure. I would go Hell Yeah Fucking Right, and last but not least, maybe Look What You've Done.
Yeah, that's a
great... That's grown on me heavily.
That's a great fucking song. And recently...
Also The Ride.
Oh, that's my number one. But I think overall, what I like about Take Care is that you're going to find more and more stuff as you go through the album. Because yes, it is radio friendly. Yes, it's an easy transition for new hip hop and rap listeners. But you're also going to find yourself finding new tracks you gravitate towards. You're going to find yourself falling in love with new Drizzy verses. So that's why I have to bring in Take Care into this conversation. But Lou, finish off the list with your last album.
I think it's a great choice just because a lot of people are familiar with Drake and kind of view him maybe more as a pop artist than a hip-hop artist. But he does have more hip-hop-centric albums earlier on in his catalog, and that's a great starting point. But my last album on this list is actually Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. And when I was growing up, you know, first getting into hip hop, I would be listening to stuff that maybe my older brother was playing, or, you know, songs that I'd hear on the radio from, let's say, 50 Cent, Eminem, or even some Kanye West songs that I was introduced to from like movie soundtracks. But I would say one of the first albums that I really, you know, I would say immersed me into the genre was Good Kid, Mad City. And it came out during, you know, our first year of high school. And I remember listening to this album every day on the bus going to school. And I remember, you know, first just listening to it because I liked the instrumentals. I liked the very hype energy on songs like Backseat Freestyle. But when I actually paid attention to what he was doing with this album, I was blown away. And it really grabbed me into the genre and made me pay attention and analyze hip-hop records the way that they should be. And speaking on Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar calls this a short film. And it's because it truly does feel like a movie. When you look at every song, all 12 of them, each song on that track list feels like a scene that's playing into the larger scope of a film. And that's an amazing thing to see, because when you're immersed into a story, the music hits on a different level, but you also have a narrative structure to go with. You have a character arc, which you don't get too often with other albums. And I feel like it's not always about who did it first, but it's about who did it best. And this is truly one of the best storytelling records of all time. The way that it's in a non-linear structure is super interesting, because you're kind of left to analyze it and put the pieces together. Not only that, but when you look at the production, Kendrick is influenced by West Coast hip-hop and G-Funk to be specific. And this is kind of an easy point to listen to this album and then be like, okay, I want to go back now to albums like The Chronic that actually kicked off the whole G-Funk sound. So it opens your ears to a lot of new sounds and a lot of older sounds that Kendrick brought back on this album. And apart from that, I mean, he also introduces a lot of skits. He introduces very detailed songs that have a lot of imagery, like The Art of Peer Pressure, which will totally blow you away. And like I said, it'll immerse you into his story. And apart from that, I also think that it's a great album in terms of subject matter, because it really paints this picture of Kendrick's life growing up in Compton as a teenager. And you get to see the battles and the things that he's facing, you know, such as police brutality at times, and also, you know, just being influenced by people around him to get into the gang culture and lifestyle. So to see him weave that all into one coherent story that runs you over about an hour long, it's a beautiful experience, and it's a sure bet to really sell you on hip-hop for me.
I never met anyone that has not enjoyed the overall listen of this album, and it's one of my favorite of all time. I also think that the sound overall has developed so nicely over the years. It's one of the best aged albums that I've ever heard, because no one has done that before, and no one will be able to replicate another GKMC. Like, that's what's crazy about Kendrick's discography, is that we could always put certain albums in certain places, but there's that special feeling about GKMC when you first go through it. And what's also nice about it is that, you know, as you were saying, it kind of gave you your standard on how you look at hip-hop albums and how you want to dissect your music going forward. But think about that. Like, you were just a kid once with no music knowledge necessarily, and that's the album that kind of maybe kickstarted you towards maybe getting into music reviews, and that maybe got you deeper into absolutely. The genre. So I think that's what's special about it, is that it's going to allow you to get to work. Like, you know, as a music listener, as a hip-hop listener, I feel as if a duty of ours is to get to work, go into the music, get your hands dirty, you know, look at the lyrics, feel the lyricism, and understand what the artist is trying to do sonically, and also what he's trying to do with his soundscape. So also, GKMC is perfect.
Yeah, I just want to add to that, I love the fact that you can listen to songs like Swimming Pools, or for example a song like Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe, that I would say sound like party songs, but deep down they have very intricate messages that you can learn a lot from. So it's cool to kind of have an album that sounds so good just to listen to without paying too much attention, but if you do want to dissect it, you can. So that's kind of wrapping up our list for the most accessible albums and the first albums that you should maybe check out if you're not too familiar with the hip-hop genre. But let us know down in the comments which album sold you on hip-hop. And if you're a new fan, let us know, you know, which of these albums end up being some of your favorites and actually help you get into hip-hop. We're doing content like this on a weekly, so subscribe if you have not already. Thank you for watching the whole video, and we'll catch you in the next one. Thanks for watching the full video, and if you're new to NFR, be sure to hit that subscribe button, as we'll be keeping you guys updated with the latest album releases in terms of update videos, album reviews, and our own original series on the weekly. And we also have our Patreon plan available in the description below, where you can access weekly bonus content and also access to our Discord. So be sure to check out all of that, and we'll catch you in the next one.